When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Welcome to another podcast. It's LiesOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers, Madison Firefighters Local 311, Madison Teachers Incorporated, and our friends at Local Teamsters, Local 695. Congressman Mark Pocan from the 2nd Congressional District joining us now. Mark, we haven't talked to you since you had your heart operation. We're glad everything went well.
Yeah, thanks, Sly. It's one of those things where I didn't feel ill. I was actually doing about 3 months worth of working out three times a week at Orange Theory Gym, which is a pretty aggressive workout. And I just noticed I was a little short of breath. And I mentioned it to my brother. His partner used to be an EMT, and my dad had a heart attack at 44. So they said, yeah, you should really get a stress test. And more than anything to prove them wrong, I decided to go ahead and set up a doctor's appointment. And next thing you know, we realized I had a need for a triple bypass. The good news was heart was completely healthy and is completely healthy. It's just I had some bad plumbing, and now I got some good plumbing and fully back at it. So, just a little bit of surprise at 53 to go through that, but now hopefully I'm good to go for several decades.
Well, yeah, I had to go through a bunch of tests, too. We're getting to that age.
You like to think you're invincible, but occasionally things like genetics get in the way.
It's not like when we were out there running around knocking on doors in Antigo for assembly candidates.
Oh, my God. Absolutely.
God, that's a lot. Yeah, that's almost 30 years ago, 20 years ago? All right. Well, let's talk about you had a little press briefing about NAFTA yesterday. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, I think one of our big concerns that we have, I just talked about this morning to my office, Sly, is we right now are having a problem that anything that Donald Trump does, much of the base in news outlets like MSNBC automatically take the opposite position, right? Because he is wrong almost all the time. However, on trade, we have long as Democrats, and in the House, it was about 85% of the House Democrats voted against trade promotion authority to Barack Obama, even, our president, when trade came up, because we had difference of opinion. We had standards on working conditions, environmental conditions, the dispute settlement process that is kind of an extrajudicial process that gives corporate lawyers more control than our judicial system, a lot of other factors of trade. So we've always had a position, I think, as Democrats that was, looking out for workers both in this country and also, to be perfectly honest, outside in other countries. And suddenly Donald Trump, has during the campaign on the top level, the surface level, said some things that made sense about trade. The problem is he had no policy particulars, specifics whatsoever. And now fast forward to Donald Trump's president. We were told he won Wisconsin and Michigan because of his position on trade.
Well, in Pennsylvania, but too.
In Pennsylvania, to a lesser degree, because it was a little bigger of a gap, but it was very specific from pollsters, Wisconsin and Michigan. And so now he's outdoing things like tariffs, and targeted tariffs are not bad, but I would argue that the problem is we don't have a clue of what the president's really bigger philosophy is. And I think, most of what he does around trade is more about xenophobia than it is where most of the rest of us come from on trade. So it's been a very difficult time because as he keeps moving forward, doing things without really seemingly any kind of plan or policy goals, people are starting to look at this and go, oh, this is a bad, tariffs are bad. And again, I think we're overreacting.
Well, and we're hearing all the cliches about Smoot-Hawley and how Smoot-Hawley caused the depression, exactly. Which isn't true. And actually the reviews on Smoot-Hawley, when you read about them, are actually kind of complicated. They're not necessarily all bad, but these things have become memes.
Yeah, and for the corporatists that always were so-called free traders who didn't believe in any standards on trade, they love this moment, right? Because they're getting everything they want, because now they're breaking into the defenders of reasonable, fair trade policies, which have been really the Democrats. And they're starting to make some nicks because people, again, are just automatically assuming if the president does it, it's wrong. And again, Sly, I think, you know, for me, the part that, you know, we released our Progressive Caucus principles around NAFTA renegotiation, which includes things that, you know, we have talked about it for a long time, working standards and environmental conditions, and again, that ISDS settlement process and many other things that, you know, we think have to be included. But I'm worried in a much broader context that we have to make sure that we're explaining trade at a time that Donald Trump, who doesn't know what he actually believes about trade, now we're letting the corporatists define
I think this goes to actually even a bigger problem, and I agree with everything you just said. And just think how well Scott Paul from the Alliance for American Manufacturing, who's a very progressive, thoughtful guy, or Lori Wallach mm-hmm. from Global Trade Watch, right? Public Citizen. They know this stuff backwards and forwards. They're both very progressive and smart. They don't get invited on the network shows.
Right.
You know,
and I'll tell you.
Although Scott Paul got invited on the Laura Ingraham show.
Oh yeah, great. Right. So one day I drove in from, you know, where I live in the town of Vermont to Madison. And I was in the car for about an hour where I was going, and I had three different MSNBC hosts I was listening to, all talk about trade from a position that's different than where progressives have always been on trade, because they were taking the kind of knee-jerk anti Trump response. And now you add this tariff discussion, which again, you know, we know that there's steel dumping and we know that targeted tariffs can be useful. The problem is Donald Trump has done it ineloquently, and we don't know what his end goals are.
All we really know
is he comes at it from a different perspective than most of us do.
And it's a complicated thing because China dumps their steel across the whole market. So just targeting China doesn't work. There's other bad players like Vietnam and Russia. So it seems like eventually on the tariffs on steel and aluminum, we ended up in the right place, but it took a rather circuitous route.
Yeah, well, I think what I've said is, you know, even a broken clock is right twice a day. And I think, you know, that's kind of what's happening with Donald Trump. We've had meetings with former Ambassador Lighthizer on this issue, and, you know, we actually think on some labor standards and I believe on some sovereignty issues, at least he understands and kind of agrees with us. He may not be there on environmental and some other areas, but we've had some conversations. The problem is, again, the leadership has to come from the top, and the president, I don't think, knows what he thinks about trade. He just thinks he can just throw out these tariffs to get a little attention for his narcissistic qualities.
He's been talking about these trade deals for a long time. I'm not so sure he cares so much about labor standards and, you know, dispute settlement, that sort of thing. I don't think he gets into that. But for the free traders, let me play this clip of Morning Joe today, because he's a big free trader.
Yeah.
Okay.
Time and time again, Michael Steele talked about, extolled the virtues of free trade.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, timeless wisdom is that free trade benefits all countries. And yet, Paul Ryan, I think Paul Ryan still is supportive of Milton Friedman's views. I don't know.
Okay.
I wouldn't know, because he's been extraordinarily silent in the midst of some of the most protectionist policies since, I don't know, or at least a president that sounds more like Herbert Hoover than any president since.
Yeah.
So,
you know, if you're a capitalist and you're extolling the virtues of Milton Friedman or Adam Smith, or how can you say that the what's being practiced here with China free trade and the WTO is somehow capitalism, when you've got a planned state economy subsidizing industries to drive U.S. industries out? That's not how capitalism is supposed to work.
No, but this is, again, I think where, as you know, the funders, the big money folks, whether it be from media or anywhere else, all are on these issues. You know, they look at the global economy, and they're just looking at new markets they can enter, and they don't think much about the folks here that are getting left behind, whether it be in manufacturing or a whole lot of other areas. And, you know, this week, Steny Hoyer was in the district because he does a Make It in America thing. And part of what we did is we took him over to the University Research Park.
Didn't he used to be a free trader?
But he is not exactly in the strongest spot when it comes to some of these issues, let's put it that way. But part of what we want to show off is, you know, we've got a bunch of really unique things that are happening, which is why, you know, Dane County is responsible for something like 50 to 60% of the job growth in the last decade in, you know, Wisconsin because of this stuff. And we're trying to show him some of these aspects. But, you know, that doesn't still solve the folks who used to work in a manufacturing facility in the more rural parts of the district, who those jobs are now gone. And, you know, if they don't have rural broadband at a post office, they don't have anything to even have any local commerce. And, you know, there's just so much more to the trade issue. So, you know, what I'm afraid of is it being realigned right now with the corporatists defining it, taking advantage of Trump when they want to get their tax breaks, but then taking advantage of this when they want to try to make some inroads into where the strongest opposition has been to so-called free trade.
Well, isn't that interesting? Although I will say Connor Lamb's victory in Pennsylvania is a pretty good indication that there's a coalition out there of plenty of Democrats that still believe in, you know, having fair trade standards and labor rights. I mean, you know, Connor Lamb's victory speech, and I don't know if you saw it, and I'm sure you don't agree with him on every issue, but his victory speech talking about the importance of unions in America and the importance of making sure that we have fair trade versus what's going on now, that was really, really enlightening. And look, his margins didn't necessarily just come from blue-collar workers. Those suburban Pittsburgh people voted for him as well. So it can still happen, right?
Yes, but Slyke, so Connor came to our caucus. And, you know, this is great because everyone's trying to claim, you know, Connor Lamb's victory, right? You know, because he happened to personally have been anti-choice but said he'd vote pro-choice, you know, all the folks who are anti-choice are trying to, you know, take credit, all the rest. Bottom line, you and I both know where he actually ran. If you go to his website or what he told us in caucus, the four issues he said he won on were, one, fighting to protect Social Security and Medicare. Two, investing in infrastructure and good-paying jobs that will help create that infrastructure. Three, standing up for working people to have a voice in their workplace and trade laws that work to keep jobs in America. And four, the opioid crisis. Three of the four of those are populist, I would argue, progressive economic issues that he tailored to his district. So you're exactly right. I mean, you know, this is where people are. Donald Trump says the right thing at the surface that sounded like he understood it. The problem is what he's doing right now is very ineptly rolled out. The corporatists are taking advantage of this, trying to cause disruption in where our coalition has always been to try to get fair trade. And I'm really more worried than I've been since I've been in Congress over this issue because of all these factors.
What are your members telling you? What are the members that you're in the do you head up the Progressive Caucus?
Yeah, I co-chair the Progressive Caucus, yeah. And you know that's why we put out our principles yesterday, because you know we're trying to help get out in front of it because you know you're right, we're not seeing the Democratic Caucus in general get out in front of it because whenever we have. You know, I think we had 28 people that voted for trade promotion authority. That's enough to dampen the overall caucus message on an issue, which is unfortunate because those 28 people are, you know, where Paul Ryan is at on trade. And so I don't think we need to parrot Paul Ryan's talking points. But we do have to, you know, get to, for example, the producers at MSNBC and say just because Trump's for it doesn't mean you have to be against it. You actually got to take and look at the issue. And we've got some real work to do.
We'll take a break and talk more with Congressman Paul Ryan at SlysOffice.com.
Injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh.
When you hire a lawyer to help you with your personal injury, you want to know that you'll have that lawyer's personal attention. With John and I, that's exactly what you'll get. With many firms, the lawyer that you see in the ad is not the lawyer who is going to be representing you in the case.
One of the differences with Mike and my practice is that when you hire us, you'll have us personally involved in your case.
Call injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh at 257-5661 for the personal attention you deserve.
I want to thank all the labor unions here in Dane County that help keep SlysOffice.com up and going so you keep up to date, whether it be the Madison Firefighters, Local 311, or the Madison Teamsters, Local 695. Or our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated. These are some of the most active local unions who organize,
and constantly stand up for workers. Thank you from Sly's Office.com.
We're back at Sly's Office.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. Great local sponsors like S&R Remodeling, our friends at St. Vincent de Paul, and the Axley Law Firm. All right, Congressman, obviously there's a lot going on right now. We've got teacher strikes all over the country. And I heard Michael Moore, and we go back to, I hate to bash MSNBC this whole podcast, but he pointed out, look, this is something that everybody should be talking about. We've got a Supreme Court that is on the precipice of taking another major axe to labor rights in this country. This time it would be public employees. And yet we have teachers crying out all over the country because they can't feed their families. They don't have textbooks, and they're having to buy school supplies from the meager wages they get. And yet the national media is just covering Russia, Russia, Russia.
I'm with you. You know, I've quit watching some of the shows because 90% of them cover Russia. And, you know, I know that Mr. Mueller is doing a great job with his investigation, and I'm going to wait to get the final reports. But daily speculation doesn't move the ball forward when most people are concerned about their economic condition.
Although,
right?
I do like to hear the details about Stormy Daniels. I like to hear all those details. That's very important.
Yeah. I think we could have a stormy day a week, but I don't know about 5 days a week or 7 days a week. It gets to be, there's not that much of an update on everything.
By the way, I may get to interview her on my rock show.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, isn't that nice? I'll let you know on that. Okay.
Yeah, please, okay. Please. We had a number of members who wanted to bring her as a guest to the Fifth Union, and no one got through to her at that point. But what you're saying is, you know, on the Janus case is very true. I mean, we know it could have devastating impacts nationwide if that decision happens. But I'm really heartened to see what's happening in the liberal bastions of West Virginia and Oklahoma right now when it comes to teachers' strikes, and watching them fight and win to try to get a more fair pay. I think this helps us because as the court decides the direction to go, these things, Supreme Court judges, no matter what they will say and how they make their decisions, do follow what's happening in the world. And if you're seeing backlashes because public employees are treated so poorly in so many areas, this might have a positive impact for this decision. So I know we've all been assuming, based on the court makeup, that we're likely to lose on this. But I'm hoping that some of these very unusual places to have labor fights where labor is winning might help impact
that. You know, before the last maybe 10 or 15 years, West Virginia actually had a very deep and rich labor history. It was a progressive state. Michael Dukakis won West Virginia. But Democrats got away from an economic message, and, there weren't solutions for people that have lost their coal jobs. Democrats took their eye off the ball, and they lost the state. West Virginia never should have been lost. Oklahoma used to be a Democratic state. Now, that was a little longer ago. And of all people, and I know sometimes we kind of chuckle, but Brett Halsey warned me 10, 12 years ago what happened in Oklahoma, where they did right to work, and suddenly they attacked this on labor, that on labor, that type of thing could happen in Wisconsin. And sure enough, we see the result of that. I mean, Oklahoma teachers are literally destitute.
Well, in the schools also. They haven't put any money into the schools. And I've seen some of the most outrageous graphics of conditions in schools.
Have you seen the books?
I saw the books. I saw chairs. I saw desks. I mean, there have been a number of things that are put out there. And, and I've heard that from teachers in Louisiana and places like that, too. So, I mean, I think yesterday when I was talking, I've done four town halls since I've been home. And, one of the groups I was talking to yesterday, people are realizing that, there is a strong pushback now to what's happening. Not only are people repulsed by much of what Donald Trump does, but that whole agenda, there's a pushback. And, I think we've got some real opportunities to improve conditions in this country. And we're seeing it happen at local levels, in some cases state levels, because that can still happen. But there is a real pushback, not just electorally, like we saw with the Supreme Court race in Wisconsin, but we're seeing it also, I think, on policy.
Let me ask you about the results in Wisconsin the other day. Now, I know Leah Vukmir has started a television ad, and I think she's talking about us, you, Mark Pocan, me, Sly, calling us union thugs, that we stormed the Capitol. and that she stood strong with Scott Walker to approve the Walker agenda. How do you think that's going to work this year?
Yeah, well, she's appealing to the Republican base, right? So I fortunately don't think like them. I'm not sure if, you know, maybe she's got some inside info, although I saw a poll today that the Nicholson campaign released still showing him about, I think, 15 points ahead of her. So, you know, she's actually kind of doing it from behind. But, you know, those issues, again, you know, people don't even in another meeting I was at this week, someone was talking about Act 10, and everyone remembers Act 10, but they gave a completely different bill they were talking about. I mean, honestly, remember the inside and outside of all these issues. So I think for her, because she's such an insider, and that's all she's got is Republican insider, she still thinks that's the world. But if that's her campaign come November, if she wins the primary, this is great. I have said the only way Lugie Vukmir gets to a job in Washington, D.C. is if some Republican hires her as her staff person, because she is not going to get there electorally. We'll see. In a Republican primary, who knows what they'll do. I just know I'm enjoying the fact that each one is backed by a different billionaire, and this is a billionaire fight. It's been interesting, and it will be more interesting to watch.
What did you make of Rebecca Dallas' victory and then the vote on the treasurer's office?
Yeah, you know, both of those lie, and this isn't a slight to Rebecca Dallas, but both of those, no one really knows who Rebecca Dallas is, and the state treasurer's office, I would argue, 90%, maybe 95% of the state couldn't say who the state treasurer is right now. And yet those votes were strong repudiation of both Scott Walker and Donald Trump, right? I mean, we saw the blue vote come out in a lot of areas. I mean, Sean Duffy actually had to call, in less than 24 hours, he called four town halls together. Now, of course, he did it so no one would actually show up. And he could say he did town halls. And luckily, the town hall project went after him on that. But 49% of the vote went to Rebecca Dallet in the 7th congressional district.
I noticed that.
Yeah, so anyone other than Jim Sensenbrenner in a congressional district in Wisconsin should be reconnecting with their constituents very quickly, because
we should always remain connected with your constituents, right? You do town halls all the time.
Well, yeah, I've done four so far this two-week period, and then Saturday, Randy Bryce and I are doing one at 1 o'clock in Janesville at the UAW Hall in Paul Ryan's district, because Paul, it's been almost 3 years and Paul Ryan has not had a public town hall.
He's busy.
So we're picking up the slack for him.
He's a busy man. When we talk about the importance of talking to the Democrats, having, making sure that they focus on the economy and people's lives. When you do these town hall meetings, are people talking about the things that we've just talked about?
I'll tell you, honestly, the number one thing is just angst over the current situation. I mean, people are just, rightfully so. I mean, what is the direction of the country? Where are we going? What's happening? And that's usually the first thing. And then people almost always will ask, what should we be talking about? What should we be campaigning on? And I bring it back to the conversation you and I have had for years, Sly, which is, what most people do, will care about is what they talk about at their kitchen tables, their economic condition. They're not Fox News viewers. They're not MSNBC news viewers, but they're just people who worry about affording their mortgage or their rent. Do they have health care for their family? Can they afford a family vacation that year? And maybe if their kid wants to go to college, can they send their kid to college? That's what real people talk about. So if we talk about those issues that affect people's personal economics first and foremost, then you can have a conversation about every other issue that's out there. But if you're not talking about what people actually worry about the most, you're not trying to engage voters to come out and vote. And I just hope that we can keep that focus. Now, the good news lie at the congressional level is Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi are working together on messaging for the fall. We've gotten to the point of saying we have a better deal. It's better jobs, better wages, better future. So they are focused largely on economic concerns. I don't think they put the fine tuning on exactly what the issues are. And we're trying to help from the Progressive Caucus viewpoint, because we just did a poll and showed some good paths on that front. We hope they'll take. But at least they understand also that it's about an economic message if we're going to win.
Do you think there's still a divide in the membership of the Democrats in Congress between Tim Ryan and Nancy Pelosi? I mean, I interviewed a gentleman who's running for Congress from West Virginia. He's a really interesting guy. He was quite the fighter for the teachers, but he's a Marine. and a state senator, former Marine and state senator. His name is Richard Ojeda, and he's great. He's part Bernie Sanders, part Jesse Ventura, quite a character. Anyway, he was quite clear that he wanted Tim Ryan to be the speaker and not Nancy Pelosi. And of course, Connor Lamb said the same thing. Is there a divide?
So first of all, it's not with Tim Ryan. Tim Ryan ran because he thought someone had to offer an alternative path, but he's not interested in becoming speaker. So where the divide probably is more than anything else is, you know, Nancy Pelosi and our leadership team have been there for a long time, and we know Republicans have very unfairly to Nancy Pelosi painted her in a very certain way, and they run against her rather than our candidates. And I think there is a feeling among, some of the Democrats that, you know, what's going to put us in the best position to win in November and, more importantly, to move us forward on issues that we need to move forward on. But I think the good news is we're all saying, look, we got to win in November before we have any of these other debates. And the most important thing we can do is be focused on, trying to defeat Paul Ryan's, majority he has in Congress. Because, you know, we've been running – we actually run against Paul Ryan more than we run against Donald Trump because his numbers are lower than Donald Trump's nationwide, and he has no base that actually care about him. So we often are tying people to Paul Ryan because he's the bigger anchor than even the president is. And, we're just trying to focus on getting through November, and I think we'll have some of those internal conversations after that.
All right. Well, I always look forward to talking to you again. And it's going to be an interesting year. At least there's a ray of hope right now, which is not, I was very worried about Wisconsin after 2016 and whether, the rural vote that would come out and vote for a progressive had completely disappeared. But I have a little hope today.
Yeah, look at Lafayette County. Look around the district. We saw all these rural counties voting for Rebecca Dallet and against the state treasurer's office. And again, it was more about sending a message to Scott Walker and Paul Ryan and Donald Trump.
I think one of the strangest things happened in Greene County, though. Did you see the vote in Greene County?
Yeah, I know. Again,
No, there's a strange thing. Normally, the counties where Dallet won, the treasurer's office, the no vote was very big on killing the office. In Greene County, Rebecca Dallet got like 62 or 63% of the vote. The treasurer's office, that referendum, 80% of the people voted yes in Greene County, but then voted for Dallet.
Okay, so you know what was going on in Greene County? There was a big, I believe, I could be wrong on this countywide, but it was at least in Monroe, referendum on Citizens United, and it was a vote yes. So there was a big campaign on vote yes.
Oh, so there may have been a little confusion.
So I was down there with a town hall and saw lots of visibility on that. So that probably was maybe attributing to why that was such an anomaly.
Yeah, that's interesting. Although it's always fun to see the voting patterns. People mix it up a little bit. It's I hate too much predictability,
Yeah.
Wisconsin. Remember there used to be Tommy Thompson, Russ Feingold voters in this state?
20% of the people would vote for both, right?
Right.
And you'd kind of, and nowadays, although now we really don't see that very much, Sly. We're just not seeing that same vote. And I think more of it is because it's a battle of turnout, right? I argue in D.C. we're not a purple state. We're a red and a blue state. We just have really red areas and really blue areas, and it's who gets the turnout out. And I think this year what we're seeing, whether it be that Senate district special election in Wisconsin or the election that we had for the spring April race, it's really about who's coming out. And right now folks who are upset with the system are coming out, and that's helpful.
Well, I really hope Democrats have recruited a lot of Patty Shatners because she's the real deal. She's great, and a lot of Connor Lambs all over the country.
Yeah, honestly, what we've learned, I think, from Bernie's campaign, two major things. One, be authentic, be who you really are. People would much rather disagree with you but know why they're disagreeing with you than, just have you say nothing as a politician. And two, that you can, raise money for a campaign from small donations from real people, and you don't have to sell your soul to special interests. I think those are two things that I'm seeing right now happen across the country.
So what you're saying is don't be like Hillary.
What I'm saying is we don't need to have the old model.
If I don't get you in trouble at least once during a podcast, I haven't done my job. Okay.
I know, Sly. I'm doing my best to not have that happen this week.
Mark, thanks for coming on. Congressman Mark Pocan at SliceOffice.com.
SliceOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Making stuff matters, because when we make things in America, America makes it. American workers and families make it. Our communities make it. Consider this. For every one manufacturing job in our communities, five more jobs are supported. Manufacturing jobs pay an average of 10 to 50% more than service sector jobs. That allows working families to support their local businesses, schools, emergency services, and more. Creating 2.5 million new manufacturing jobs would mean at least $100 billion for our economy over the next decade. Domestic manufacturing is the green economy. It's among the cleanest, most efficient, and productive in the world. That's why the United Steelworkers and our more than 1 million members and retirees are fighting so hard to protect and grow manufacturing. Because making stuff really does matter. Join our fight. Visit usw.org and like us at facebook.com/steelworkers. Support American manufacturing. Buy American. Buy Union.